Find, keep, and strengthen your love for the Lord through firstloveradio.org.
The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Hello and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who has been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he's traveled the entire continental U.S., preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience and the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Well, hello everyone. Larry Dubois here. I decided that I'm going to try something new, and that is my weekly, well, was weekly, sort of a monthly radio program that is broadcasted on First Love Radio. Well, anyway, so today's Memorial Day, so it'd be appropriate to welcome all the veterans, say a shout out, as they say, to the veterans and all the people that fought in wars past. My own son is Iraq. He was an Iraq war veteran. So greetings. If you're just joining us, Larry Dubois, and I am broadcasting here to do the show. I just mentioned the format. One of the things I'm going to post on Facebook later, so you don't have to follow it, but if you go to my website, sharingyourfaithradio.com. I got lawrencedubois.com and another website off of that basically has the gist of the ministry I do. I was off of Facebook for a good 7 years. I came back on Facebook for the purpose of presenting a page devoted to the radio show, Sharing Your Faith Radio, in hopes that that would broaden the audience and that sort of thing. So I've been doing that, but I also found out that Facebook has a lot more than they had 7 years ago. One of them is this live video option and some different things. And more there's video being broadcasted on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere, so everything. And I know that with a video, usually a short but sweet video is appropriate. So I've noticed that you don't want to keep people too long. This broadcast is going to be a half hour to fit into the time slot I have with the radio station. It's a half hour slot. I actually have an hour slot every day. And if my show is not an hour long, they fill in with something else. Well, anyway, first thing I want to talk about is I had posted that we were out at the Hobby Lobby in Roseville, California. Roseville is a suburb of Sacramento, California, and we'd been going out there several weeks in a row on Douglas Boulevard there, and before that we were going up to the Costco, basically with our gospel signs, and these are just 2x3 signs that are, they have gospel message, a short message, very short Bible verse, something that could catch your eye as you're driving by. And we discovered that this was pretty effective in light of the pandemic. Well, anyway, so we noticed over at the Hobby Lobby, they finally open up, and there's a lot of people inside and too many people, so they have them lined up outside. And so we had this bright idea that we were going to go and we were going to minister to the people in line. It's getting hot here in Sacramento now. I think today is in upwards of the 90s. And so we were going to bring them some bottle of water and hopefully get to talk to them, maybe give them a gospel tract, that sort of thing. So we did that the other day, and I did do a little video clip of right before we started. I never reported on what happened. Well, it was sort of kind of a flop, to be honest with you. But what we did is we went up to the line, and there were people waiting, plenty of people. It was very hot. We had ice water in ice chest, and I thought we were going to run out of water, because when we did it to the homeless group down in Sacramento a week before that, we ran out of water. Well, we started handing out these waters in the line there at Hobby Lobby, and the people didn't really want them. You know, they were very standoffish. One lady took one water. A lot of people had their own, but they weren't up to talking. They didn't want to really take anything from us. And so we're standing there, You know, looking stupid, so to speak. you know, that's okay if you're going to look stupid doing the Lord's work. But, you know, we gave it a try and we decided, you know, let's go back over to the edge of the lot and spend the rest of our time holding up signs. And that's what we did. And that's kind of how we finished the day. As we were leaving, there was a lady setting up with a bunch of Trump supporting stuff and banners and stuff. And it was to promote this rally that they had on Saturday down at the Capitol. I saw a few footages of that. I guess it went okay. I was planning on going. And then this journalist that I know, photojournalist, gave me a heads up and asked if, you know, he knows I'm kind of crippled. And he advised me not to go because there was a report that this Antifa group, some of these radical groups, they come down there and they cause trouble. They hijack the deal and start violence. And he thought, hey, if I'm down there, it's not like I can make a fast getaway, you know, running off with on my walker. So, and I had some other things to do. So I didn't go down to that rally. I was at the National Day of Prayer and, you know, I had reported on that. But, one of the things I wanted to talk about is what does evangelism look like in the foreseeable future? Well, I know initially the groups that started going out evangelizing when this thing first started, they could not really access the people. I mean, you go out, like we went down to Sacramento just a few weeks ago, and it's like a ghost town down there. I mean, even the homeless population is who we ended up ministering to, and there was very few of them. But the workers are not there. It's like a ghost town, so there's nobody to really preach to. I know some of the people, they had gone to Costco lines and different lines in the store and stood out and basically gave a message to them. And with signs, also what you have a problem now is people don't really want to take anything from you because, you know, it might be contaminated or you might give them the virus. And plus, they have to get close enough to you to take it, right? So gospel tracts and literature aren't as prominent as it was before this happened. And the same with the preaching. Now, I notice a lot of the ministries are going out to the abortion clinics more because that pretty much remains the same. You know, they are open, unfortunately, and the access to them has not really changed much since this pandemic. So I know a lot of the brothers and sisters actually too are going down to the abortion clinic. So that might be a great place to go that you wouldn't normally go and do evangelism. One of the things I noticed was I expected maybe more people would be stirred up, you know, that the church wasn't meeting. And they would be motivated to, hey, let's bring the church to the street. And from my vantage point, I didn't see anybody out there. There wasn't a lot of extra people out there witnessing in the realm of evangelistic preaching or anything else. Pretty much everybody was bunkered down, I guess. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, what is it going to look like? Well, what we're expecting up here in Sacramento is we're expecting to go downtown. Eventually, it's going to open up to the workers, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to do our regular ministry that we do, and that is to preach the gospel through our, you know, amplifiers on the corner of the street like we've been doing for years. And we don't expect that to change. The ministry that's in San Francisco that does this, they've been doing that now for several weeks, and they found that they've been finding people out, of course, and able to do this too, and also that they haven't had any resistance from the police or anything, abnormal resistance from the police. So they basically got a green light as they're going out preaching. So we're going to do that as soon as the people start to appear. Street preaching, for those that are maybe unfamiliar with what it is basically you go down and it's conducive to a crowded area such as downtown or some public event. It's not necessarily for suburban. you know, because what happens is you go out and there's nobody there. They're in cars. Downtown, they're out of their cars. They're on the street. They're walking the streets, whether they be workers or people that, you know, homeless people that are in the area. There's a number of reasons why you would find someone down on a downtown street on any given day on the weekdays. And so that is the best place to do the street preaching is where the people are. And when I first started street preaching, of course, and started to experiment with it, if you will, I was very timid. And I'd go downtown and there'd only be a few people. And I thought, well, this would be stupid if I just started preaching. There's nobody here. I might as well just go across the street and talk to the person. I go, I need a big crowd. So I would find a big crowd, like at a parade or at a park, and then I'd chicken out. So I went through that for a while. But eventually I got out of that. I got down here to California, hooked up with a group that did this all the time. And, you know, I got over that and I started doing it on a regular basis and started preaching. But in the foreseeable future, I look to the evangelism to change to a certain degree. And as far as the tracts, the gospel literature may not be as easy to hand out for quite a while, because again, people, they don't want to get that close to you, or they don't want to take something from you, possibly. But the preaching, of course, I think will return to normal, if you will. And the signs are good. Just real brief message about the signs. Last summer, or might have been a couple summers ago, I was in the Oregon coast, in Lincoln City, and there's a church there that let me stay in their parking lot overnight, and I started going to their meetings, and that when I was there, and I'd stay and go down the coast when I was coming back from the Seattle area, you know, on my preaching. Well, anyway, I noticed on the highway in the summer in particular, there's bumper-to-bumper traffic all the way down 101, and it goes through Lincoln City, and it's all the tourists. And I says to the church, I says, you know, here's a great opportunity for you to do some ministry, is to go down and, hold up signs as these cars go by. You know, you may even get into some conversations. Well, they never really took me up on it. I tried to exhort them to do that. I said, look, get the youth to do it. You know, the youth are always going out there with signs to do car washes and all kinds of stuff like that. Why couldn't they go out and do that for a while? You know, people could make excuses and say, well, it's not effective. But I think you're getting the name of Jesus out there. You're planting seeds. I think it doesn't take much to be effective. Hi, Thomas. Hi, join us. Thomas was out there today. Sorry I didn't get back to you, but I heard his voicemail. He was out there doing just that, evangelizing with signs and as many ways as he can. One of the things I wanted to mention also is what I entitled Bigger Fish. I have bigger fish to fry. What does that mean? Well, recently on Facebook and social media, I've been very outspoken about how I think the churches should open up and defy the government's orders to not to do that for a couple of reasons. But basically, I might have got a little carried away. I might have, you know, insinuated that these churches and pastors were cowards. And I didn't think that we should just stay put. I thought we should meet. Now, this divided, you know, there's lots of ideas on what we should be doing. I guess my reason I came up with this mostly was because I didn't think that at this point in time, at first we didn't know. At this point in time, I'm convinced that the pandemic, the threat of that virus overtaking us, by opening the churches isn't there anymore as it was, and I think they can be open. I don't know what the church has to wait for the president to give them the cue to do this. I get the other arguments, but anyway, I was pretty outspoken about we should open. Well, I came to the conclusion you know, you can be beating a dead horse with that. I made the comment, I have bigger fish to fry than that. And that is, at this particular time, I don't want to be distracted over some of these issues. What I want to focus on is getting out the gospel. And using all of my strength, all of my resources, which would include mainly physical strength and time, you know, to be able to get out there, mental energy, prayers, that sort of thing, and use that as a focus on getting out the gospel. And now more than ever before, and, you know, not so much get involved in a lot of the arguments about, you know, should the church open or not. Eventually it's going to open. I have thoughts about that. Like I said, everybody has their opinions about that. But instead of focusing on that now, I decided, you know what, that can be a real distraction for myself and others. So I want to focus on doing the evangelism. And so that's what I meant by putting that up on Facebook, is I have bigger fish to fry, is I don't want to get bogged down with some arguments. And there's better people than me that could fend for the position of we should open up or not open up, whatever it might be. But this brings up something interesting. And the radio program, of course, has a potential. It goes all over the world, the English-speaking world. It's broadcasted on firstloveradio.org. My show is broadcasted twice a day. We have other programs. Some would be known to you. National ministries like Alistair Begg, Unshackled. We got programs like that. We also have programs that aren't so popular or unknown by other stations. We have a ministry that does pornography type ministry for men. That's on there. It's sort of cutting edge stuff. We got other stuff like that coming on the formats of the station. But anyway, the station has, it goes to, like, for example, goes to the Philippines. We have sister churches over there. We have sister churches in Africa and Nepal. Nepal would be the only one that doesn't have a lot of English speaking people. But the Nigeria does for sure. Kenya does. Then it goes, of course, to Australia and other places that we don't really have a presence in. And it goes to the Philippines. Well, when you go to those countries, vocally, as well as even here in the United States, not everybody necessarily knows the Lord. I mean, I give a show that tries to encourage the saints to be involved in evangelism, and the topics usually regard issues about that or messages about that. But I always want to remember that there's people out there that may listen that don't know what the gospel is. And so I always like to share that, or have somebody, you know, share it. A lot of times I'll have somebody else do it, and I'll record that and broadcast it, because they get tired hearing my voice all the time. I don't have to be the only one, you know, sharing it. The main point is that it gets shared. So, but basically, one of the questions that I think is not answered a lot of time in modern day presentations of the gospel is there's a lot of presumption on the part of the church, and they would say, well, come to Jesus, or, you know, they have these things called altar calls in the church and different things like this. And the people are like, well, what we need to answer, I think, is why do we need Jesus? Who is he? Who is he? And why do we need him? And I think if we can answer those questions, it would help them to understand our message to them is that you need to be saved. And they're thinking, what does that mean? Saved from what? Well, maybe we'll start there. When someone says to you in Christian lingo, you need to be saved, they're speaking of being saved from a couple of things. Being saved from God's wrath. You see, God has a mandate to be true to his nature. And his nature is holiness, righteousness. He's perfectly just. He cannot allow sin to be in his presence in a favorable manner. And because mankind has sinned against him, and we'll get into that in a minute, but because mankind has sinned against God, there is a penalty for that sin. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so there is a penalty. And because God is holy and just, he must by nature punish sin. And that punishment is to be a sentence, a death sentence, if you will, to be excluded from his kingdom forever. Basically, you want to talk about quarantine. Those who die in their sins will be quarantined from the universe in a place called the Lake of Fire. And they will be held there forever. And there will be no escape. It'll be a place of everlasting torment. The Bible tells us that it's an outer darkness, weeping, a gnashing of teeth. Jesus described hell to be literal. He described it to be that we would be conscious. Those in hell would be conscious. They wouldn't be just annihilated. And so this is a very important part. If you don't understand what you need to be saved from, then you would not necessarily have a motive to care about it, right? If you've never been bitten by a snake, you wouldn't be that concerned about if there is a anti-venom for that snake bite. You'd think, oh, that's good for everyone else, but I don't have a snake bite, so no big deal. But you see, all of us in the whole human race have been affected by sin. It came through the first man, Adam, and his wife, Eve. They brought sin into the world. They brought in what's called the law of sin and death into the world that incurred God's judgment on them and all of us because we're related to Adam. And then we'll also be judged for our own sins. But because we sin by practice, we sin by choice, we sin by our nature. I mean, we're so thoroughly affected by sin, it just permeates our whole being. It's like a bottle of water. If you dropped a drop of poison in it, it would permeate that whole bottle. It would be unfit for consumption. And that's what sin is like to us, that God cannot allow us to come into his presence. And so he rejects us based on his holiness, his righteousness, and justice. And so we're in a very serious predicament. And that's why we need to be saved. Okay? We cannot save ourselves. There's no way we can clean ourselves up because we're thoroughly tainted from the inside out. That's why the Bible tells us, Jesus said, we must be born again. We must have a new nature, given a new birth, so that we are changed from the inside out. Our heart needs changing. It's not outward circumstances. We can never be good enough to satisfy God's justice, but we need a substitute. And the substitute is none other than God himself, who came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth was and is the Son of God, and he was able to live a perfect life that you and I cannot live. And he lived it on our behalf. He fulfilled the law of God as the only human being that was able to do that. And then he laid down his life as a substitutionary death on the cross in the guilty sinner's place. And so it's an exchange, if you will. It's imputation. The Bible tells us that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And so when we receive Christ, that's what we're called. It says, he came to his own would not receive him, but as many as did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe on his name. And so that's what we are called to do. We are called to repent and believe in Jesus so that we would be forgiven of sins and have everlasting life, that we would be changed. And that is the essence of the gospel. There could be more said about that. It's a simple message, but it's also very complex as well. If you really look at it and realize what Jesus did for us, that he came and died in the sinner's place. And by his death on the cross, he satisfied the wrath of God so that those who believe in him would be spared of the coming judgment. We would have eternal life. And that is the good news. And so, because Jesus is God, he had the capacity and the power to do that. And he declares us righteous. So he's God, and he died in the sinner's place. And that's the idea of that. So we need him to escape the wrath of God. Now, there's more than just escaping the penalty of sin, okay, which is death, spiritual death, being forever put in a lake of fire. It sounds harsh. But if we understood God's holiness, which we really don't understand it fully, and at the same time we minimize our sin. My son's a police detective, and when he, you know, what happens is people, they'll tend to minimize their involvement in a crime. If they start to confess or admit something, they can always be sure that that person had more of a role than they're willing to say. And because we want to somehow minimize our guilt or minimize our involvement, so to speak. And so we minimize our sin. We don't understand the holiness of God. So we can't really fathom why would God do this? Because he must by his nature. The question could be asked, why does he spare anybody? You know, we're asking the wrong questions. How could he spare any of us? That is the goodness and the gracious love of God that he does that. So if you've never had that experience where you've come to Christ and believed on him, that's where you need to start. Then the idea is you go out and tell others. That's all evangelism is you just tell others about the salvation that you received, in any way you can, in your own way. You just telling others what happened to you and who Christ is, introducing them to Christ. That's all evangelism is really. And everyone has a part in that if you're a believer today. But if you're, you know, that's why I mentioned earlier on, if you're not a believer, that's where we start. We start there at the cross, make sure we're saved. And that would be a good word at this time for people that are, you know, we would say they're sitting on the fence, you know, quote unquote, or, you know, they're sort of indecisive. Well, it does tell us God knows who those are his, okay? I may not know if somebody's a believer or not, but the idea is that you have to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if this is not the time to waver, I don't believe any time isn't, because we never know when we're going to die. We could drop dead at any time of any different things. There's a lot more other things out there than the virus that could kill you. So we want to be ready, but especially now, I think when we're reminded of our mortality, we're reminded of, hey, Christ could come back. You know, that's the talk. Christ could come very quickly. So we want to be ready and we want to tell others. And that's what the focus I wanted to be on. And we're running out of time here. But I just wanted to wrap it up with that message of salvation. And so hopefully, and I, like I said earlier, this goes out to my radio audience. And the radio audience is broad. It goes all over the world virtually. I don't have any idea. I mean, I get a sense. We get statistics from the radio server that does the broadcasting for First Love Radio. I can tell if someone's downloaded my podcast. I can't really tell where they downloaded it from. You know, but the idea is we do it in faith. And we preach it in faith. If you preach it to people that you see, it's still a faith work because you don't know if that's going to effectively do them any good. Of course, at that point, it's between them and God. We're just doing our job and to give out the gospel. That's all we're required to do. But as we draw to a close, I was going to mention, next time, I'm going to do something different as well. I'm going to bring in a friend of mine that's been going out with me here in the Sacramento area and as a kind of like a co-host. Now, I've interviewed other people that have been on the show, and I'm going to have Robert Payne. He's going to kind of co-host the show with me as he lives, you know, 10 miles up the road. And we're going to do something. I don't know what we'll talk about. Anyway, that's it, my folks. Thanks for joining me, and God bless you.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.
Strength. striving to declare God's Word all day and all night. This is the streaming ministry of firstloveradio.org.